have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Well, it's Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. You must be listening at The Voice with your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, New Haven, Connecticut, and we're glad you're here tonight. The Lord bless you and keep you. This is your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Thank God for you being with us on this podcast tonight. Amen. And we bless God for you, and especially you. Amen. I believe the Lord has something wonderful he wants to say to us, through us, and with us. Amen. And it's a great, great opportunity just to hear from God at this time of the evening. Amen. You should be laying down, sitting down, relaxed, and able to hear nothing but God. And so we thank God for you on tonight. Well, let me check and see what friends from the Mickey Mouse Club is with us tonight. Amen. Let me see if Annette Pulicano is with us tonight by the name of Kimmy Kim. Are you with us tonight, wonderful producer?
Kimmy Kim is in the building. How you doing today?
I am fantabulous.
Amen. It's good to hear you. Congratulations on your honoree. You're well-deserving of it.
Thank you, woman of God. I'll send you a check later for saying that. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us check tonight. I'm not sure, but is there anybody from the cornfield on this phone? Anyone from Indianapolis on the phone tonight? All right, Indianapolis is sleeping. All right, Upper Marlboro, Maryland, is there anybody there? Amen. By the name of Bishop Elect Ernest E. Richard Jr.
You have to know that no matter where I go, I'm going to show myself and let the world know I am here.
Blessings to you, Chief Apostle Vincent L. Swift. I said
y'all
Swift,
have
not
been,
Smith.
Y'all have been He's singing from his CD that didn't come out yet, so y'all just hold
on. Yeah, I'm singing from the CD that the word ain't even got to the paper yet. Anyway,
yeah.
It's a blessing and a pleasure to be here. You know,
hot peaches with cinnamon with some ice cream on top. Amen. Apostle Urban Whitlow must be on the line.
He's not on yet.
He ain't on yet. Oh, he's still cooking peaches. That's why I smell them. Lord, yes, sir. Well, we will begin tonight with the three of us. As soon as he comes in, let me know, Kimmy Kim, so we can involve him in the discussion. If Pastor Henderson comes in, let us know. We can get her involved in our discussion. Amen. Kimmy Kim, give us prayer tonight. Bishop Elect, let's get our scripture ready.
You might want to reverse that because I'm driving.
Oh, okay. You can't tell me. You can't walk in, you go.
Well, if I want to keep this truck in the middle of the road, no. Because the person in front of me might not get the memo.
Yeah, I'm just messing with him. Thanks to God. He's out in a tractor trailer. He better not try to walk and chew gum. He better just walk or pull over and chew gum. Yeah.
Well,
don't
want to pull over because.
Give us fire. Amen. Kim, get our scripture ready.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, for this hour, for this time, for these moments, Father God. Thank you for how you bless us to see an entire day come from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Your name is worthy to be praised. And God, we've come to glorify you even the more through this podcast, God, through the discussion and the things that will be shared, the revelation that will be poured out, the illuminations that will be made or made known. God, we're asking for your hand to be upon this particular service on this particular day. All who are listening, Father, wherever they may be, no matter where they're listening, no matter what day it is they're listening, let these words sink deep down into their hearts and download into the hard drive of this spirit. As for each of us, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our impenetrable rock, our Redeemer, for we bless you for what you're doing. We have this confidence in you that that which we've asked and are asking of you is being accomplished even as we speak. And we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give us our scripture reading, Mrs. Kimmy Kim.
And what are we calling from my Apostle Smith?
1 Kings, chapter, is it chapter 4?
We went to 4, but I think we started 2, the last 24 to the end.
All right. 2 Kings,
think that was
chapter 2,
yeah.
Start at verse 24.
And in chapter 4? Okay, and it reads, for he had dominion.
No,
chapter 2, verse 24. Let's do it. And it reads, now therefore, as the Lord liveth, which had established me and set me on the throne of David, my father, who had made me an house, as he promised.
Are you in 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 2.
1 Kings chapter 2, yes.
Verse number 24?
Uh-huh. I'm reading from the King James Version. 1 Kings chapter 2, 24. Now, therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father. Is that the right one?
No, that's 2 Kings. 2 Kings.
Yeah. No, this is 1 Kings.
No, listen, you want to go to 2
Kings 2. 2 Kings,
okay.
Chapter 2.
I got you.
No,
I was in 1 Kings 24. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-birds out of the wood and tare 40
she-who?
And 2 children. Huh? She bears.
Keep reading. She bears.
She
what
bears
the
out
she
of
bird?
The wood. She. I said she bears. You're, will you
no,
stop?
You
oh, man,
go,
start.
Ahead.
No, go ahead, woman of God.
Go ahead.
I'm
going to
beat
read
him
the
up.
Word.
And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she bears out of the
yes,
wood and tare 40 and 2 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. And blessed to the hearers, the readers, and the doers of his most high word.
Amen. We started.
I'm going to beat him up.
We started this series. Amen. Talking about Elijah and how he hooked up with Elisha. And then we went all the way to the Jordan where Elijah released his mantle, gave it to Elisha. Elisha then ripped his garment, picked it up. Amen. Picked up the mantle with the ripped pieces of his clothes and went to the water. And he said, where is the God of Elijah? Hit the water and walked across where the Jordan was on dry ground. And then after that, we got in to a discussion about not forgetting where you got this from. Talked about how Elisha remembered Elijah at the Jordan, and how you ought not to forget the anointing you got from hanging around your pastor, your prayer people, whatever anointing it is on your life. You just didn't get it through prayer alone. There were some people already operating in that particular anointing that God blessed your life to get around, and you were able to tap in to that part of anointing that they had in that area, and you obtained that anointing in a greater measure off of their life. Now, we got in to the part of Elisha, and we asked the question, what do you do with a double portion?
Mm-hmm.
We started with the strike of the Jordan. We talked about how the children teased him and said, go up, O Barhead, teasing him that he should do like Elijah. They want to see him do like Elijah. Well, it cost them their life. So when you see the man or woman of God in the wrong spirit, amen, the man of God asked the Lord to send Shemaiah out of the wood. And when the Shemaiah came out, it was hungry for little children. How do I know that? Because the Bible says the bears begin to tear the children up, and not one was left. 42 children, and none of them could escape when the Lord let the bears come out the woods. Then we also look at another miracle of Elisha. Told him to get a minstrel and let the minstrel play. And God said, while the minstrel is playing, this place is dry. I'm going to let water show up in this place. By cloud, the cloud was not full. Not by rain. No rain was going to fall. God said, I'm going to fill this place with water. So he told them to dig trenches or ditches. And the musician, the minstrel, just kept playing. And it said when they got up the next morning, the minstrel was still playing, and water had rolled up in the ditch and running through the city. And then the enemy came in, trying to get to the blessing that God had put out there for the people of God. The enemy was coming in after the water. But in the morning, God let the sun shine over the water. Now watch this. On one side of the water, Israel was drinking good, clean, cool water. But on the other side, the enemy could only see bloody water. Only God could have done that. On one side, it would look nice and clear and refreshing and cool. And the people of God was drinking from it. But on the other side, it looked like somebody had had a war, and the enemy got messed up real bad because the water looked like blood water. And the enemy didn't know what to do and started killing himself. because they said, surely Israel is going to do us like they did this other enemy, because this water is full of blood. And they didn't know that Israel was on the other side of the water having a good drinking time. Only God could do that. And so we're going to continue from there tonight, and we're going to see what else God did at this miracle water that he put in between God's people and their enemies. Amen. Somebody read that part of the text for us.
Come on, Dr. Kimmy Robinson.
Okay, you want me to read chapter 24? I mean, the one, that verse I just read? I'm sorry.
No, I want you to go down where the Lord told Elisha to call for the minstrel.
And what is that chapter? I'm still learning the Bible.
I think it's in that same chapter, but down a little further.
Because second chapter, 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm in 24. Let's see.
Go down 4 verses, 5 verses, 6 verses.
Second Kings chapter 2, right?
Look at the word minstrel. You should be able to pick
it
out.
I'm looking for it, but it goes up to 25.
Okay, it's the next chapter there.
Okay, then go into chapter 3.
Chapter 3, okay. Second Kings chapter 3.
Yeah.
Okay. I really can't pull over because I'm in a construction site.
Elisha. I'm not that familiar with this particular story. I do apologize. I'm going to see if I can Google it then.
Yes. Da-da-da.
This is, okay, so we are in 2 Kings chapter 2, correct?
Is that where you found it at?
I see Elisha in chapter 2.
No,
and
for
Elijah
the minstrel.
Said it
he
to
called,
him.
Nope. You got to call for the minstrel. So if it isn't in 2, which it doesn't sound like it is, it's got to be in 3. But oh, I'm sorry. Go to chapter 4. I'm so sorry. And look for the word minstrel. In the middle of, I'm not sure if it's at the top or in the middle. Talk about the minstrel playing. He called for the, and Elisha called for the minstrel. That's how the verse starts out.
I see the, and it fell on that day that Elisha passed to Shunem. No, that's not. The senator, and the child was grown, fell. The kids were, I'm sorry, Apostle Smith. Okay, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead. Is that where we are? In 32?
No, it's before that.
Before that, it must be, let's see, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me what hast thou.
No, go higher up.
Put in your Google, Elisha cause for a minstrel.
Okay. Elisha calls.
Okay.
Okay, that's just after 3:15.
3:15?
That's who?
Yes. Second Kings, chapter 3:15, and it reads, I'm going to beat him up. He gave me the wrong chapter. Mm-hmm.
No,
so
you had the wrong ones to begin with. Come on.
So 3:15 reads, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus said the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus said the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and ye shall smite every fence city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and marred every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning, when a meat offering was offered, that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were coming up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Keep on.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Okay, and they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil, and when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and fell all the good trees. Only in the Carheshen, left they the stones thereof. How be it, the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of the Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men and drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom. But they could not. Then he took the elder son and should have reigned in his stead and offer him up for a burnt offering upon the wall.
Mm.
And there was indignation. Okay.
Let's start right there for a minute, because we got a lot of ground to cover in what you have so far before
that's
we get down
good.
To that. Now, as we heard in our reading, and I want to entitle this tonight, The Water That Drove My Enemy Crazy.
Mm-mm.
As I said in the pre-study, God filled this dry city up with water. Israel is drinking good, clear, good than water from one side of the water that he brought in. But the next morning, when the enemy comes in thinking that they get ready to tear Israel up, God let the sun come up over the water.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch what I'm getting ready to say. And God let the sun hit the water in the rainbow color of red. And all the enemy could see. Now listen, nobody could do this but God. He hit the rainbow color of red. I don't care how clear your water look in your bottle, how clear it look in your glass, water has color. You don't believe it? Go outside after you have a downpour rain and look down on the ground when the sun hit the water and see if you don't see the colors of the rainbow in the water. So if there is no color to water, then where did the rainbow come from? Somebody want to talk to me about that? If there's no color to water, then how is there a rainbow in the water?
Well, I'll address it in this facet. Let me make sure I'm not on mute. Okay, I'm not on mute. I'll address it in this facet. Because of the clearness or the clarity of water in and of itself, water has the ability to offer transparency. Think about this for a minute. Water can be any color that God himself so chooses. If you ever seen water or dew, drops of dew on a blade of grass, although it's clear, yet that water looks like it's green. So you're talking about the rainbow being in the water. God's promise was actually in the water. Because when he stopped the rainbow, or when he stopped the rain during the days of Noah and extended his covenant, that rainbow that he arched sky absorbed water, and that water never lost that luster. That's my explanation.
Okay. Okay, you got anything to say on that, Kim and Kim?
I just believe that when I think about rainbows, it's a reflection of God saying that he will forever be with us. And so when I think of how the rainbow is formed, I really believe it's just another covenant of God. So anything that he creates, he can do. And so I really believe, yeah, that is possible.
Okay, now both of you said something good, but I'm going to pull out something rich here. That the rainbow is a covenant or promise of God. And so the color of the rainbow stays in the water because the water carries the promise of God or the covenant of God that I'm not coming at you this way ever again.
Mm-mm.
So when the color of the rainbow is shown in the water, God said, I put the rainbow in the sky. And where did the water come from? From the sky.
From the sky. That's right.
And so out of the water, God drew his colors and said,
Amen.
As long as you see the rainbow, my promise is still good. And so in this instance, to keep children of Israel safe, God pulled out a color of the rainbow and made the water look like blood.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody but God.
Nobody else has that ability.
He pulled that red out the rainbow and made it have an outstanding look in the water.
Amen.
Now we know there's green, there's this, there's that in the rainbow. Why would he pull out red? and let red be the only color of the rainbow that showed up. After it said, he filled up the city and even had water running through the city. Why would God let one color come in the water?
Sounds like to me it was a reflection of his blood of Jesus. Well, if you want to go there.
You're on a good road.
Well, I mean, the blood is a covenant. I mean, the rainbow itself is a covenant, right? So I would think, if from my spiritual vision, that he allows red to be to signify that he is sending someone who can cover our sins. And it will be the color of red, which is the color of the blood of Jesus. And that would be my spiritual vision that I get when I think about rainbows and red and the rainbow. And, yeah, because I still remember when they used the prostitute as a Passover, so they put the blood on the post of the prostitute who had, I forget his name. What's his name? Come on. Come on, scholars.
Rahab.
You know who I'm talking about. Rahab. But she had the, who was it that she helped hide? I forget. But she
Joshua
hit the prophet.
And
Joshua.
Joshua and Caleb.
Yes. And so it was a Passover. So I really believe, you know, red has a really significant in the word. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I'm going to take a slightly different spin on that. Blood in and of itself can have a dual representation, and it can have a tri representation. Here we go. Here's the dual representation. Blood represents life. Blood also represents death. And at the same time, blood can represent healing. There are your three elements. In this particular case, blood is a representation of death. Though it came from the rainbow and it was the color of blood, it automatically made that the enemy think that their leaders were dead. Why did they think their leaders were dead? They said because their water looked like it was filled with blood. And so because they were under the impression that Israel may have slaughtered their leaders, they suddenly turned on each other in massive confusion, no doubt, no doubt. So my take on it is that in this particular case, and the question you're asking, let me make sure I have the right question because I really don't want to give the wrong answer. Your question is, why did God turn the water red with the red, with the red rainbow?
Yeah,
well,
why did God use red out the rainbow? Mm-hmm. Y'all doing good.
Well, no,
you're,
I'm just saying,
good.
I just want to make sure go ahead.
One
go ahead.
Thing I want to say that we don't want to dance around with it. The enemy actually said when they saw that red water, they actually said they have killed our king, so-and-so-and-so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bloody the water was looking to them. They thought they had slew their kings and cut them up and had the blood rising in the water.
But here's something we can look at, too, Apostle. Here's something else to look at. They automatically assumed that their leaders had been killed and multiple bodies had been murdered and left for dead. But in the illusion and in the delusion that God sent to them, why is it they didn't see a body floating in the water? It never dawned on them once that if there was a slaughter, there should have been bodies somewhere near the water because that blood doesn't go into the water all by itself. And though it was just the color of a rainbow, there should have been bodies everywhere. And they never thought about it. But what really, it doesn't puzzle me, it shows you that God can send strong delusion if he so desires. They automatically assume King Tut, whatever the king's name was dead. We have no chance. I'm going home. You ain't going nowhere. Yes, I am. Says who? Says me. Well, you take that. I'm going to slice your jugular. You ain't. You going home, all right, but it won't be to the house that you built. Well, you take that. Stabs him in the heart. I'm just painting this picture. All
right.
Because they saw an optical illusion, which was not an optical illusion. It was just the rainbow that comes from the covenant-keeping God, who said that he would put a hedge of protection around the apple of his eye in this particular case.
There you go. There you go. That's why the water was red. That's why God extracted red, because he had a promise that I will watch over my people.
That's right.
Now, somebody go to that verse when the enemy saw the red blood, saw the red water.
I think you just read it, Sister Kim.
Okay. I will go back. Do, 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 do.
Don't lose your place.
Okay. It was a lot that I read.
Well, it's verse 16 and 17 somewhere in
there. 16 and 17, okay. And thus said the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus said the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, and ye may drink both ye and cattle and your beast, and this is but a lighting thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And
wait a minute, because we missed that before. He had already promised Israel that this is going to give Moab or the Moabites into your hand. So the water was already for a reason. Already for refreshing. And then he said, I'm going to give you the Moabites with the same water.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead and read. I hadn't caught that before, but I heard it clear that time.
Sure. And I'm going to continue on to 17. For thus said the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall you. I read that. 18. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good thing, every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were coming up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border, and they rose up early in the morning. And the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this
Amen.
Is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten
them. The kings
them.
Are what?
The kings are surely slain. They're gone. They're dead.
God drew that red color out of the rainbow and fooled the enemy, because they were thinking, as Bishop-elect said, they started talking that the kings, our kings, are dead. Look at this bloody mess in the water. apart and they tear them apart.
And not a body found anywhere.
No. And then again, with not a body found, they said, boy, they really messed them up. Ain't even no bodies around. Can you imagine walking up to a body of red water and you think it's blood and you don't see a body nowhere? That's more scary than finding the body.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And this was not the Red Sea, neither.
No, it wasn't.
That was even worse. This wasn't even the Red Sea. It was just red, bloody-looking water sitting in the middle of nowhere. They just knew their king had been torn apart.
Uh-huh.
God, I'm telling you, God got a way to mess your enemy up. All you got to do is what he said.
Amen.
All he told the children of Israel is, go out there and dig some ditches, make get ready for rain to come. And then God took the sun and drew out the A color from the rainbow. And when the enemy got there, they saw something that wasn't even happening.
That's right.
How is it that on our side, we still see clear, good drinking water? On the enemy side, they see in blood. Oh,
on our side, we're looking at the rejuvenating of our souls and the rejoicing over the fact that the God of war has answered our prayer. On the opposite side, we are looking at the God of war going to work on everything over there that opposes him.
See that? On one side, he's giving us restoration. On the other side, he's getting ready to give us a release.
There you go.
He's getting ready to release us from our enemy. And all we got, see, I wish the people of God would learn this. If you have enemies, the only thing you need to do is obey God's instructions.
Mm. End of story.
Amen.
And
we do have a guest on, so if you would like to say something, I unmute your line.
What's that?
She said we have a guest on. Somebody's with us. Don't know if they're just listening.
Let me know.
I guess
we
they want to listen.
Huh?
Oh, hello?
Hi.
Yes.
Okay, you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
What's your name? Chanel Robinson.
Chanel, so glad to have you with us tonight. I pray this conversation is being a blessing to you, and you are free to ask the question or get in the conversation with us if you so desire. Just glad to have you along with us tonight.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I concur with what Tammy said and also what the other reverend said. Just like you guys were saying, that we don't have to worry about our enemies. If we stay obedient to God, he will take care of our enemies.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the Lord.
For us. Yes.
Well, can I ask you a question, Sister Chanel? Seriously, if you don't mind, Apostle. Why do we as believers have such a tough time understanding what you just said? Why do we have such a tough time trusting God to handle our enemies? For why do we have to get back at them? And I show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to use you and I for example. Mm-hmm. I say something ugly and nasty about you on social media, and instead of you letting God handle it, you bounce right back at me on social media. Well, Bishop-elect, he ain't nothing. He always think he hot stuff, this, that, and the other. I don't know who he think he is. Why must we escalate through means that don't mean anything? I mean, trying to garner support from so-called friends. Why do we do that? Maybe you could help
because
me understand.
Because we believe the lies. We have insecurity. We have insecurity about ourselves. So when you say what you say, we take that, we go into that insecure part of ourselves. We know that that's not true. Mm-hmm. We know that's not true with what you said. But because we're insecure and we're thinking on the lines of, did he just call me out? Or could that be true about me? Why did he say that about me? What does he know? Mm. So then we react instead of being still. Because sometimes when things like that happen, sometimes we're just supposed to be still. Just like you said, we have to allow God to win our battles for us. So just because you said something about me, I'm not always going to retaliate. One of the first things that I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, so he said this about me. I'm going to have a conversation with myself and with God and see what he says. And so, while I'm talking to him, he's going to tell me, well, you know you're not that.
Okay.
Don't believe the lie.
Now, and I like what you both just said. And let's think about this. When it came to the battle of Jehoshaphat, he said, hold ye your peace.
What he said.
For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's.
It's the Lord's.
So that meant that Jehoshaphat and his people actually had the victory even before the Lord said anything, because he had to tell them, just hold your peace. I got this for you. I know you can go down there and gain the victory just because you're my people. But I don't want to do it that way this time. A lot of times we miss coming out easy because we got our mouth open too much. We're letting the flesh control us too much. God want to get the glory out of what's going on, a lot of times he missed receiving the glory from us because our flesh is in control.
Amen.
And when our flesh is in control, God stays out of it.
Amen.
One thing, I watched God for years. I watch him. He's not going to fight and override your flesh. Either you're going to listen to him, or God's going to sit down and take a break.
And watch you struggle. That's true.
He'll even save you some time. What are you doing? Why are you acting like that?
Yeah.
Don't you know that I am your God? I'm Jehovah Nissi. I'm your banner of love over you in time of battle. All you need is me. I don't know why you're acting nuts and going crazy and all this. All you had to do was give it over to me. I would have handled it by now. And I keep saying this week by week, I think the worst statement ever came in the church, I got this. Why is it getting worse instead of better?
Well, that's the problem. You ain't got it. You just, I mean, we convince ourselves of a lot of things, Apostle. We convince ourselves that we're capable. God will bring us out of whatever the dilemma we're in. And as soon as we're out, it's almost as if we're looking for a way to go right back in. Which to me is absolute weird, why we do stuff like that. And then the minute we're back in that turmoil and that chaos, that foolishness that was pulling us down, we scream, help, Lord. God said, for what? All you're going to do is go back. So let me let you tread water for a few minutes. But, you know, really, really, as I'm talking about the human experience, and I think you said this on the prayer line today, we keep forgetting that we are a spiritual being trying to master a human experience. We got it backwards. We're looking at ourselves as a natural being trying to master a spiritual experience. No, no, no. You are a spirit being that should master a natural, and you can't master a natural experience through natural means. It takes mustard seed faith to move God. The Bible crystal clear says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to him must come, for he that comes to him must diligently seek him. And the key word here is diligently. We don't do that. So our whole premise and our whole outlook on the things we deal with, just like those Moabites, their outlook on the bloody, what they call bloody water, was murky, messed up, and put them in a position where it cost them their lives.
Yeah, now let's look at the next verse. And we need to watch how God works. I'm telling you, sometimes we are whining and crying over things that ain't even getting ready to mess with us. I want to say it one more time. Israel was on the other side of the water drinking. Not only was they drinking, their cattle were drinking, their beasts were drinking. They over there having a good time, getting wet, drinking the good water, and the enemy on the other side shaking in their boots. I got to say it. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Go ahead.
And looking at the same water.
All right. Think about that.
My God. I'm going to throw this out there for all you preachers. Amen. That you and the enemy looking at the same thing. What is your viewpoint?
All right, ask that question. How you
seeing
see
something good, or are you seeing destruction? What are you seeing from your vantage point? Lord have mercy.
Well, it could be both. You know, sometimes God has to defeat your enemies. But I would say in this instance, it could be God fighting on your behalf. So it's a benefit and a fight. So that is what I would see in this instance, because like you said, when we allow God to fight on our behalf, there are times we don't have to fight. And so when God fights for you, it says in the Bible that vengeance belongs to the Lord. And we are called to allow him to fight our battles. So I would think it causes us to rest, and it causes God to take care of what he needs to take care of if we trust him.
Now, I like how she said that, Apostle, but and I was kind of hoping she would go here, but since she didn't, I will. There was a time when through Jehoshaphat, he sent someone to tell King Jehoshaphat, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God often tells us to stand still. You made mention of us freaking out and acting or reacting to something that we think or anticipate is going to happen. We are already anticipating disaster and destruction and utter ruin long before it even comes near us. And so the very words of our mouth tend to ensnare us. Now, if we could learn to stand still and allow God to do what he does, maybe we don't see the disaster that we may fear is going to come upon us. Let me add one more piece on top of that. It's not icing for the cake. It's just another layer of cake I want to throw up on there. At that given point in time, when you find yourself centered in the will of Almighty God, it is at that point in time that you can learn how to rest in the midst of chaos. That's all.
Oh, yeah. That's like that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
All right. Oh.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. I was just saying, she's right. I mean, we
no,
got to get
saying,
to the
I
point.
No, I was saying for her to go ahead. Or was that
yeah,
okay,
oh, well, yeah, like I was saying, that's that, like that peace that surpasses all understanding. And just like in the scripture, it was saying that he had already promised him that he was going to have victory.
Mm-hmm.
And all he had to do is believe that he was, because God had already promised.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we believe on his promises, and again, we stay still, all we have to do is wait, because God's words don't come back to him void.
Okay.
You said something just then, that when God was doing this thing, I'm going to put it in this term, Israel was so busy enjoying the freshness of the water, they didn't care or didn't even know that the enemy had even come out by the water. What I'm saying to us, when we get a word from the Lord, I got you, or I got your back, or I'm going to do this for you, all you got to do is rest in God. You don't have to get all frantic and worried and pulling your hair out and throwing pillows and punching walls. If God said, I am with you and I got you, you can just go ahead and enjoy yourself and relax and rest in the Lord and know that God got you.
Amen.
And that's just what Israel did in this text, because the Lord has spoken and told him, I said, I got you. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Man, they were having a good time with this fresh water God had brought into the city.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And have flowing through the city. But the enemy, watch me now. The same thing you're enjoying, the enemy is looking at the same thing, but can't see what you see.
Mm-hmm.
He don't see what you see. He see a problem where God has you resting and enjoying yourself.
But didn't the
and
Lord
the
say to us?
Uh-huh.
He killed. He self-destructed. That's what he did.
Thank you.
But did he not say in Psalms 30:5, "Thou preparest a table
for me
in the presence of mine enemy." I guess I'd have a fit too if you sitting there eating baby back ribs in front of my face.
Let's think about this. This is how awesome our God is. All he did was made the water look like blood. It wasn't blood. All he did to the enemy and our enemy, he's making things look like they're defeated and they're going crazy on their own. So
you'll see, you know what? Think about this too, Apostle, now that it's coming to my spirit. You could see through the Moabites the dangers of a reprobated mind. when anybody who has had any experience in God through the Holy Spirit or through any encounter with God and then denies God access to their soul, they now experience what's called the reprobated mindset. You're trying to convince people that God is not a God of miracles. He's not a God of love. You're trying to put a dark side to our Father in heaven. But I'm just here to let whoever, no matter what picture you paint, my God has the final say. As one said, Maurette Brown Clark, the author or the writer of the song, from her dream, I gotta say Dream Merchant, that's terrible, from her Dream CD, it ain't over till God says it's over.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the enemy kills himself or start killing themselves and kill themselves until they started running. They were killing each other, so they were running. But God said, you're not escaping. You're not going to escape this. He said, I will send somebody after you and take you out.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't nothing but the enemy. That's just like the devil. When he see he ain't going to win, his imps start running. But if you keep praising God, God will take the imps. You ain't got to take them. And God forbid those who are still living in that era talk about I beat the devil running. I'm so glad. What you running for?
That's a good question. Where are you running,
wonder,
as a matter of fact?
I used to wonder about that song when I was about 9, 10 years old. I used to wonder about that song. I beat the devil running, and I'm so glad. And one day I had to ask my mother and father, because my father was the pastor of my church. I said, what in the world is meant by that song, I beat the devil running, and I'm so glad. Why? And I said to them, why are we running from the enemy when the Bible said he gave us power over the enemy?
I said,
that song needs to be stopped. We need to stop singing that one. Because that's the contradiction of the word of God.
You're right. You are
Father
right.
Lord, Father Lord, give us power over the enemy, but we beat the devil running.
I'm not even sure. I've not figured that one out yet. See,
let's look at the interpretation. Let's look at the interpretation of the word. God gave you authority over the enemy, but you beat him running.
That's right. So basically, you got all the tools to win. You got all the tools to win, and you're running like you're losing.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, that's how some people are, though. They tend to put some of their trust in people, places, or things. Oh, and sometimes when they put their trust in people, places, and things, and horses, and valleys, and houses, instead of the Lord, they lose their faith. And then when something goes wrong, they start blaming God. Why, God, why did you do this to me? Because you placed your trust in cattle and horses and things instead of me.
Okay. Wow.
All right. So after the enemy killed himself, what did the scriptures tell us next, Kimmy Kim?
Scripture says, I am now in 20. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. And when all the Moabites heard that
wait a minute, watch this. Watch
okay.
this. I'm going to throw this at you. I'm going to throw this at you. After you get rid of the enemy, God will give you an increase.
Amen.
I like that. I like
because
that.
See,
I like
they
that.
Already had
okay.
water, but when God
okay.
got rid of the enemy, he sent more water because the water okay. started flowing through the city.
Come on.
Anybody online tonight ready for an increase?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, always. Come on.
But if you're ready for an increase, we got to obey God so God can release the increase.
Amen.
And whatever
Amen.
God is saying to do, do it the way he said it. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing away. And you're going to see an increase of what he is doing. Come immediately in your life. Didn't the Bible say the next morning the water was flowing through the whole city?
The next morning.
It didn't say 2 or 3 weeks later. It didn't say 2 months later. The next. Now, one morning, he brought the rain. One morning, he brought the water. But as soon as he got rid of the enemy, he put a flow through the water. Oh, Jesus, wow. I believe this thing, Lord. I'm getting too happy. Lord,
that's
have
right,
mercy.
Right.
Do you, but anybody on here feel what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
He gets rid of y'all. First of all, he works a miracle for you because the place was dry.
Uh-huh.
He bring you water where there wasn't even no water. Then he
no
takes
rain.
Out your enemy, and after he takes out your enemy, he sends a whole nother movement of the water.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
And he did it, and he did it overnight.
Yes.
He must work for you. He must work for UPS. He gave
them
overnight delivery.
More like FedEx. And DSL.
Yo,
all right. Now the flow comes. Go ahead, give it to him.
Okay. And 21. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites. So that they fled before them, but they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities, and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it, and they stopped all the wells of water and failed all the good trees only in
hold it right there. I just heard something from heaven.
Come on.
Everybody on this line, I just want you to yell, God is getting ready to give me a takeover.
God is getting ready to give me a takeover.
I received that, Lord.
Not only did they chase the Moabites, and take them out, but they went and knocked down the gate. They went and took over the city. They killed the warriors, and then Israel said, let's go kick it in.
All right.
They went down there and tore up the city and took over. Somebody say it one more time. God, get ready to anoint me to take over.
God, get ready to anoint me to take over.
Anoint me to take over.
Take over.
Lord, have mercy.
My middle name is Takeover. My middle name is Takeover.
I don't care. I don't care what the enemy been trying to tell you. How he's been taunting you. How he's been saying you're not gonna make it. God is getting ready to give you a takeover.
I received it.
Go ahead, read. Go ahead, read. Cause I give.
Thank you.
Y'all ain't gonna get that.
Bless Lord.
It's all good.
Bless Jesus.
Amazing. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, it reads, only in Carhaset left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men and drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him a burnt offering upon the wall. And they was great, and there was a great indignation against Israel. And they departed from him and returned to their own land. Wow, that's deep.
Now, that's what you call a sore loser. Now, they were losing, so instead of keeping his son, he's going to take his son and offer him up. Offer him up to who? For what?
You got to think about that. You turn around and cut off your own legacy, your own lineage. You cut off the flow of the legacy, and thinking that by offering your firstborn, it's going to change a situation or a circumstance. But now here's something else that's kind of interesting. I don't know if anybody caught this. Earlier, we read that they thought their kings were dead, and so they started killing each other, and then they started running. And then later, there's mention of the king of the Moabites, who now takes 700 men and tries to make his way to Edom, to no avail. So we could clearly see the hand of God in this whole thing. I'm very sure somebody could have got word to them that the king was still alive. But in that moment, nobody had any clue or any idea. I don't know. I'm just paying attention to the, if this were a court case.
Because
I want to give y'all one of my own phrases. I started this phrase. The devil is a dummy.
Because it was.
And I want to tell you why the devil is a dummy tonight. Because the king didn't hear about the slaughter that his own people did to themselves. And now he's going to. The army that was there was greater than 700. But now he think he big and bad with 700 men with swords drawn, and Israel came along and wiped them right out. That's why I keep saying the devil is a dummy. Everything he come up with don't work. Everything he tries fails. But he keeps on coming with his little stupid tricks, and every time God wipes him right out.
Wow!
Hallelujah!
And then at the end of it all, not only does God keep wiping them out, but every time that battle is over, we're standing looking better than when it started.
And we've done nothing. And the thing about it is we've done nothing to fight that battle. We've done nothing to forge victory in that battle.
Wow.
All we, you know what we did? Can I say it like this, Apostle? All we did is stand there and look cute. All we did was stand there and look cute.
That's right.
That was it.
But then again, now let's go into the sanctuary of our day. If God gave his people this kind of victory doing nothing, then what's wrong with us now with all these devil testimonies? The devil came in my house. The devil did this. The devil did that. Wait a minute. And we got the Holy Ghost now and the devil doing all that? And here we read the story tonight that says God gave his people deliverance just with a pool of water.
Yep. Well, see, you know what, Apostle? It makes me ask a question, and actually it's a message I preached a number of years ago, and I may have to dig that one back up and look again. When I hear you giving the devil all kinds of glory for disasters taking place in your house, it's going to make me ask this question. Who's your daddy, for real? I'm sorry. You want to glorify your father, right? You can't glorify God talking about negativity. You can't glorify God talking about stuff that takes you out of character, things that pull you down, causes you stress. And that's not glorifying God. So I ask the question, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
You are glorifying your father. So if you're glorifying the negativity of your life, giving the devil props, need I tell you who your daddy is? I'm sorry, I said that out loud.
Yeah, you did. And you meant to.
I did mean to.
All right,
who
is
your
daddy? Here's a little more scripture, Kim.
Okay, let me go back to 2 Kings. And well, I read the entirety. Are we going to chapter 4 now?
Let's go to chapter 4.
Right,
how many miracles have we looked at so far?
Oh, good Lord, at least six.
There's so many
I
of
think
them.
Six.
Miracles that we looked at so far?
I think about six.
Six miracles. Go ahead and read this.
Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that
Wait a minute. Give me a time check because we get ready to get into something.
It's 11:54 on our side. 6 minutes
Richard Albert. Oh, we don't have time to get into this. We don't have time. Albert just tapped me on the shoulder and said we don't have time to even go to the fourth chapter. He's so sorry, he said, but we've been so naughty tonight until you're going to have to tune in next Tuesday and see what chapter 4 is all about. Oh, tis. But I tell you, you'll come back next week and the word is going to bless us one more time on the voice. Mm-hmm. And as I often say, if you're catching hell, don't hope. If you are going to hell, please don't stop. Go ahead. God has more for you. The Lord bless you. Amen. Someone give us a closing prayer tonight. Let our guest give us a closing prayer.
Yeah, I was about to say, let our guest give us a closing prayer. Come on, okay. Sister Robinson.
All right.
Bless her, Jesus.
Yeah, put me on the spot.
I know, that's a good place to be.
First of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to fellowship with these awesome, awesome people. Lord God, we come into your presence right now, and we say thank you. Thank you for all that you do and all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this wonderful ministry, this fellowship that we just had tonight. I was astonished and I was blessed by everything that was said. And I needed this tonight. We squeeze and squeeze and squeeze the scriptures. So many people need to learn how to squeeze and squeeze the scriptures and not go on what they think that is saying. So I thank you, Lord, for this. I thank you for Kimmy Kim, my best friend. I thank you for the two pastors that were on tonight. And I just say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. And we say thank you for being with us tonight. And you are invited to be with us any Tuesday night that you can. And then on Thursday night, Bishop-elect Richard is on at 10 o'clock. And then on Saturday night, the Apostle Whitlow is on Saturday night at 10 o'clock. So we're on tonight at 10:30. We're on Thursday night at 10 o'clock. We're on Saturday at 10 o'clock. You are more than welcome to be a part of us as we try to share what the Spirit says through us to get to them that are listening. Everybody have a great night and a greater tomorrow. And we say shalom, shalom.
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 You wonder if you made the right choice. You wonder if you're on the right course. Did you hear his voice? Did you hear in that film? Trust the process. That's all it is. Just the process. No, you are the healing bomb for someone else. And in this life, friends will come and friends will go. And you wonder why this pain day in and day out. Why does it seem to stay? Put these issues and trials go away. But then he'll speak to you. And that's his one word. Trust the process. That's all it is. It's just the process. Not just for a house and not just for a car, but it's for you to be an encouragement for somebody else. Remember that time you was going through, somebody encouraged you. So now it's your time to be a healing ball for someone else. You wonder why friends walked away. And you wonder why these trials seem to stay. And where these issues and these burdens that I carry day in and day out. And you hear, why you got to trust the process. There's a reason for it all. Just trust it. Oh.
now. My own testimony is there was a time in my life where I was homeless. There was a time that I didn't know which way to go. I wanted to give up and throw in the towel. But then I remember my mama saying, Scott, put a song in your soul. Put a song in your spirit. Let the going make it rough and the going make it tough. The heels, their hearts are climbing.